Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Cantina Hotline. The Caros now delivers and offers curbside pickup. For info on placing your lunch or dinner order, visit vaqueroscafe.com.
All right, hour number two on a Thursday. If you are a Longhorn football fan, or for that matter, an A&M fan, Alabama fan, anybody who starts on September 2nd, you're 100 days away from your first game. We will definitely get into some of that and the excitement I know you're feeling. If you're a Texas baseball fan, you are not feeling that excitement right now because your team just had to eat the wrong kind of barbecue. 6-0 today, 6-3 yesterday. The two Kansas teams get them and send Texas home from Arlington. Not their favorite place, as we pointed out last hour. We'll get into some other football stuff here as well. Plus, we will start the hour with some surgery discussions around sports, a couple of medical updates. It's Chad and Zay on a Thursday. I'm Chad Hastings. Isaiah Collier is here. We should mention, normally we talk to Jeff Howe at this time, our guy from not only Light the Tower, but of course, horns247.com. Jeff is in Arlington covering that game and getting, you know, dealing with all the post-game stuff and talking to players and coaches before they get out of Arlington and before Jeff gets out of Arlington. So we will wish him safe travels and hopefully talk to him next week. But Longhorns headed towards a regional. A lot of other things could fall apart around the country for other teams, but going into today, the thought was Texas was going to need a couple wins, get themselves towards the top half of this tournament to lock in a regional site. By the end of that game, if you heard Craig and Roger, the projections were showing Texas as a 2 seed going somewhere. One of the projections I heard them talk about was West going to Stanford, maybe a little Palo Alto region for Texas. So we'll be on the lookout for that. You can't guarantee. Certainly, there's no super regional for Texas in terms of a top 8 seed. Now the question is, do they get one of those bottom 8 seeds to get a regional host? So we've hit that today. If you want to jump in, Specs text line 337-3776. Let us know what you think of the Eastern Conference Finals. Will Boston keep it alive tonight, or will Miami finish the series? Gabe Vincent is out with that ankle injury of tonight's game. Also, if you are a Dallas Stars fan, can they stay alive tonight? 7 o'clock ESPN. They're trying to just get a game as Vegas is trying to sweep them. If you didn't miss the update, Jamie Benn is out for 2 games. 2-game suspension for what he did in Game 3.
Oh, come on, man. That's hockey. Let him drive that stick into somebody's chest or throw whatever he did.
It's a rough one, man. One of my buddies is a Stars fan, tried to give me the argument that the guy might have reached up and grabbed the stick and kind of directed it towards that spot. But I watched the replay today. The problem Ben had there is that the guy lost his stick. If the guy had had his stick and he can kind of block back, that's one thing. But I think he was just reaching up to try to put anything he could in front of that stick. And the thing ended up on the side of his head. So my buddy tells me, he's like, oh, man, Ben will pin guys like that. My buddy's been watching hockey for a long time when he was out at the Texas Stars. And he is kind of known. I mean, he's known as a rough player. He'll get after you.
This is playoff hockey.
But, dude, he cross-checked him in the face with him laying on the ice,
that's
Zay.
That's weak, man.
Laying on the ice.
That's weak, man. Gordon Baubé somewhere saying that's weak.
Man. That's
soft.
Well, they better figure something out tonight. They don't have Ben for the next 2 games, and they don't even get 2 games if they can't figure it out tonight. Vegas and Dallas, 7 o'clock ESPN. Couple of medical notes here, Zay. The update on LeBron James I think is interesting that you just mentioned. Story coming out now about what LeBron has been dealing with in these playoffs.
Yeah, according to Shams, LeBron James has been playing with a torn tendon in his foot for the entire playoffs.
Wow. Now, the haters will hear that one way, and the lovers will hear it the other.
Yeah,
but What a tough dude. Say what you said right after you read me that, because I think that might be my first take on it.
What? The torn tendon?
The fact that the dude just laid a 40-10-9.
Yeah, 40-10-9, torn tendon.
At 38 years old.
Yes.
See, that's where I get a Kobe feeling coming from him. LeBron at times reminds me of all these different greats throughout the years. That feels like Kobe to me. You're hurt. You're not telling anybody. You're grinding through it. You're not making it an excuse. But after a playoff series is done, then the people around might leak out about, you know what he's dealing with. What? Why is he limping? Well, he's because, like, what? He's been dealing with that the whole time?
Yeah, everybody just thought it was the age.
Right.
Like, during the regular season, remember, he was third team all NBA. So he was averaging 29, 8, and 7 like he normally does and looked great. And then he had that one game against Dallas where he landed on his foot and they thought the Lakers season was over because they had about 15 games left and they played 10 without him. And Anthony Davis did really well during that stretch. And then LeBron came back. And even though he was still really good and better than 75, probably 80% of the league, just what you saw in that Denver series, you could tell there was just he didn't have that same he wasn't dunking very much. He was losing the ball on dunks. He was missing easy layups that you would see, and that's because he didn't have that same bounce. So,
makes sense, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, it's the playoff time. Everybody's beat up. You could probably say that about every team that gets eliminated. Somebody had something going wrong with them. But for him, at age 38, yeah, hella impressive.
That's incredible. Incredible stuff. So that story is coming out today. Also, this little note out of the NFL I thought was interesting. It's coming out now that Jimmy Garoppolo had foot surgery in March. And Josh McDaniels won't say much about it, but the Raiders think he might not be back till the end of training camp. Just pointing it out.
Who's there? Who they draft? Did they draft a QB?
I don't know if they drafted one, okay. But the backup here on this depth chart is Brian Hoyer.
Yikes.
They got tons of old Patriots guys, yeah. Including Tom Brady as a minority owner.
That's what I'm saying. Tom might actually have to be more on hand than we thought. So,
yeah.
I mean, Jimmy Garoppolo, we know he's injury prone. The Vegas Raiders, they knew that when they signed him. We'll see what happens.
Yeah, and you were absolutely right. They drafted Aiden O'Connell out of Purdue.
Okay.
Fourth round they drafted.
He wasn't bad.
Yeah.
He wasn't bad.
Not bad at all. All right, so keep those two stories in mind. We're going to talk some more NFL coming up here. So, Zay, can you explain to us old folk what this ChatGPT thing is? This is the...
Yeah, it's like the artificial intelligence stuff.
Okay, so this is you can type something in and it's going to create things for you.
Yeah, basically like Google with like sentences and statistics and smarter Google.
And how this is how people think John Morant got one of his apologies.
Yes.
Gotcha.
Yeah, John Morant.
Okay.
Yeah, people think John Morant typed in the computer, how do you apologize to the people after you've already messed up? And
yeah.
It spit out what we saw with John Morant, which whatever he has going on, it's really sad. I hope he gets help. But yeah, this chat... You know, ChatGPT stuff, this artificial intelligence, all this stuff is a new rage, and it's fun that it's getting into sports now.
Okay, so tell me how this links up to the NFL.
Okay, so there's been multiple lists that ChatGPT has thrown out there from top players of all time, defensive players of all time, different positions, etc., but they get really specific, too. We got a most overrated players list since 2015.
Wow, that is specific.
Yeah. Now, I guess that's going to be based on hype coming out of college. And I don't know. What else could it be based on?
I mean, that's
really,
you know,
it.
The hype plus
high school and college probably.
Plus, if you're putting it into an AI thing like this, are they able, then is the algorithm or whatever able to grab actual stats?
Yeah.
And look at what they've actually done in the league?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yeah.
So they're doing kind of all those things.
Yeah, exactly. So I'm guessing they're going to go back, most overrated players since 2015, you're going all the way back to guys' high school days. So guys that were probably five stars, getting to college, had great careers there, were drafted really high, and were supposed to do really well, mm-hmm. but maybe haven't lived up to what they were supposed to do coming into the draft.
Okay. So
all right.
What jumped out to you?
Well, this guy started number 10.
Okay.
Todd Gurley?
Weird. Overrated player.
I mean, he retired early. He just retired. You remember?
He didn't get that ring, did he?
He never got that ring.
Yeah, didn't get
no,
the ring. Okay.
No, Jared Goff, yeah.
I can see that because, and also injuries factor in here.
Absolutely.
With a guy like Gurley.
Yeah.
So, yeah. Okay, I guess I could see that.
So, coming out of Georgia, he was big time, probably the number one running back in his draft class. He was a really good player coming out of high school, too. And then, yeah, he retired early, so I get it. Number nine, this is what jumped out at me.
Okay.
Josh Allen.
Oh.
I don't get this one.
Interesting.
I think he's overachieved.
Back into the top 10 there. Yeah, based on...
You come from Wyoming, you're not supposed to make it. You're not supposed to be a franchise quarterback. You're not supposed to be a perennial Pro Bowler and multiple all-pro guy that's top five in the league. He was not... If he was that five-star guy, why the hell did he go to Wyoming?
Well, they drafted him high, right? I guess
that's what it is. That might be it.
Right?
That has to be it.
He got drafted... Where was it? He got drafted first round, right?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Seventh pick of the draft. Yeah, I don't know. I don't know if I don't feel that from him either. I feel like he's played pretty well.
He's been really good.
He's the franchise guy. He's had him on playoff runs. I know they haven't gotten to the Super Bowl yet, but I think he's been pretty damn good.
Don't let Stephon Diggs having the bitch fit fool you guys on the sideline. I think that has people fooled in how he acted last year. And people forget, like, a lot happened last season that didn't go their way.
Mm-hmm.
DeMar Hamlin, their safeties getting hurt,
yeah.
Their corners, Tre'Davious White, he was injured. Like, a lot of stuff happened that if it didn't, who knows?
Yeah.
Who knows? You know what I'm saying? I mean, they were getting creamed by the Bengals before DeMar Hamlin, for what that happened, and then they got creamed by the Bengals in the playoffs. But the season changed when DeMar Hamlin collapsed.
Yeah, I don't.
It did.
Yeah, I don't understand. I wouldn't put him on that list.
Yeah, so that's odd.
A little premature, I think.
Right. Number eight, Amari Cooper.
That's interesting.
I don't get this one either.
Oh, yeah. Overrated?
Overrated.
I don't know. Nah, I don't think. But that, yeah.
I mean, obviously Jerry Jones thinks so, the way that he just got rid of him for basically nothing.
Yeah, and at times, you know, there were consistency issues where there'd be some ups and downs with Amari, and you'd have certain games where he felt like a legit one, and then there were certain games where it would kind of go away. So I sort of get it, but I'll also blame some of that Cowboys offense.
Oh, definitely Cowboys offense. Yeah. When he was in Oakland, he was putting up numbers,
yeah,
and his career was going up. I thought he had a solid season last year. I did with, you know, Jacoby Brissett, and then you go into Deshaun Watson. I thought he was all right. I just, thinking about him being overrated, he had a ton of hype coming out of Bama. They were winning national championships. He's probably a five-star, too, because it's Bama. That's all they get. So he's not the one that I guess he was expected to be coming out of Bama now, but he's still a really good player that's been to the Pro Bowl multiple times. So,
yeah.
Interesting, too. All right, this is when it starts getting good.
All right.
Number seven makes a lot of sense, Melvin Gordon.
Melvin Gordon, yeah. Yeah, that
I
does
agree.
Make sense. Makes
yeah.
sense.
Yeah.
Yep.
Just a fumbling junkie. Like,
yes.
Good grief. Those Denver days, rough. And he had a lot of hype coming out of Wisconsin.
I think you're right there.
Yeah. Yeah. So, seven, you'll appreciate number six, Jameis Winston.
Yeah. Yeah, that's fair.
Yeah. Heisman Trophy winner, number one pick. He should be starting right now.
Still. Yes. The fact that it just didn't work out that 30 and 30 year.
Yeah, 30 for 30.
The old,
he ain't talking about ESPN either.
The 30 for 30 you don't want. Yeah, that makes sense. I totally understand that one.
This one I don't agree with, but I could see it.
All right.
Number five, Odell Beckham Jr. Overrated.
Overrated.
Just the injuries, man.
Yeah. Kind of like Gurley. Sort of like that discussion where there's injuries involved. But
coming out of Louisiana State, like, he was good, but he was never, you know, he never got those, okay, this guy's going to come in the league and be a legitimate one. Like, he shocked everybody
right.
his rookie season. Like, if you go back to his LSU tape, he's doing some pretty unbelievable stuff, like the one-hand catches on punt returns and kickoff returns.
Well,
and
yeah.
Just being Odell Beckham and then him missing a couple of games. I want to say he missed four games his rookie year and still went over 1,000 yards by a long shot and was easily rookie of the year, but injuries, I guess. I don't know with this one.
Yeah, this is a tough one because Les Miles and Cam Cameron, I believe, was that offensive coordinator. They did their best to make sure he was not overrated coming into the – or he was not highly rated coming into the NFL because people forgot they had those receivers when they watched that LSU team. because they just ran the ball, grinded it out, and they had him and Landry at the same time.
Yeah.
And didn't really use them. So that is a bit of a weird one, but I guess I can understand how he would maybe end up on a list like that. I wouldn't put him there, but I guess I get it.
I wouldn't either. Probably just the hype that it became, but Giants days were really good before he started, you know, the engagements and stuff, all that.
I think that's it too.
On the sideline, you ended up, you know, net and stuff.
You ended up with a little more crazy than you ended up with good football.
Yeah.
That probably is what it is. Yeah. So I guess I get it.
All right. Well, number four, Cowboys fans, do you agree? Ezekiel Elliott.
Oh, wow. Fourth most overrated player in the NFL since 2015. Ezekiel Elliott.
I don't know, man. There was a point of time where Zeke was the top running back in the league.
Yeah, there was. I guess, again, it's like I guess I understand it. It's all about how you thought of them at one point, the productivity they gave you at another part of it, and then the decline and how far the decline has gone. Ezekiel Elliott's not on a team right now. So, you know.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm trying to think of all the hype, winning the national championship, drafted number four, Jerry paying them all that money. So if you look at ChatGPT is going to the money that he gets and living up to that, he has not lived up to his paycheck.
Yeah, that's fair. He did not live up to the big deal.
Right.
So
which
ain't his
fault. He shouldn't have been paid that to begin with.
Right.
It's not his fault at all, but you're right. He ain't on no team right now, so but he gonna be. I think the Cowboys might pick him up.
They might pick him up.
You'll never know.
All right, top three,
Mitchell Trubisky, number three.
Yeah, that's fair because he's like the third guy on a team right now, and he was picked that high. Yes, that makes sense.
When was he drafted? And all the guys that were drafted after him have done really well. So I know that hurts for him. Going number two, Chicago, that definitely hurts them. All the guys that doing so much better than them.
Wow, was it really number two?
Yeah, it was number two.
God, that's the 2017 draft, by the way.
Mm.
Yep, 2017 draft for Trubisky. Yep, totally understand that one. All right, who else?
Number two, here you go, Chad.
Yep.
Leonard Fournette. People have said he's one of the greatest high school running backs in the history of the game.
Yeah, I guess I could see it. Obviously, with Tom coming to Tampa, he did eventually end up with a Super Bowl, but I could see that. I guess I could see how, based on everything that had built up, like you said, the high school and college and how everything's set up, I could see how somebody would say he didn't come through like you thought he would in the pros.
Yeah, man. I remember Leonard Fournette being talked about coming out of high school and his size and his speed and like going over like, wow, probably like 3,000 yards would seem like rushing in his high school senior year. That's basically what he was doing. And going to Louisiana State, he did that there too. But he got drafted so high and it didn't work out with the Jags. And, you know, you give Brady that credit for those rings. Nobody really thinks about Leonard
right.
for that.
No,
everybody
right.
just thinks about Brady and then they think about those three big-time wide receivers they have with Godwin, Evans, and Antonio Brown.
Mm-hmm.
Then it's, hell, even people
and
think
Gronk.
Of – and Gronk. Yes,
and Gronk.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So nobody thinks of Leonard Fournette, even though he was a big part of those teams.
Oh, yeah.
So, number two makes sense.
I'm a little surprised it's that high. I get that he's on the list. The fact that he's all the way up number two is crazy. All right, so then who's number one?
Sam Darnold.
Sam Darnold, that kind of makes sense too.
Yeah.
Yep. Been on the move a little bit. You knew a lot of quarterbacks on a list like that because sometimes it's just hard to live up to all of it.
Yo, I remember the game where the Horns went down to the Coliseum to play USC, and it was Sam Ehlinger freshman year versus Sam Darnold, and all the hype that he was getting. The Horns, they held their own. They really did. Like Sam didn't do anything spectacular, but it was just all about, you know, how strong his arm was and the way that he was able to move. And then he got drafted by the Jets. Clearly it didn't work out there. He just was with the Panthers, was decent, but it didn't work out there. And you don't even know if he's going to be the starter for the San Francisco 49ers. He might be the third string.
Yeah.
Like he could easily be the third string if Trey Lance comes back healthy and ready to go. Because we know what Kyle Shanahan thinks about him. He started them last year. They were going to go through all the bumps and bruises. With that loaded roster, they were willing to say, you know what, Trey Lance, we're going to live with you and see what happens. So Clearly, that's going to change what the quarterback room looks like this year with Brock Purdy, you know, coming back from that elbow injury. But, yeah, man, Sam Darnold being number one, I got no problem with that.
Yeah, that would make sense. That's definitely a guy to keep an eye on, though. That quarterback room is pretty wild, depending on how everybody comes back from injuries and what it looks like. And we obviously know they've been banged up. That offense will bang you up as a quarterback. It will rip you apart. We've watched it happen, so Sam Darnold may need to get ready. There's an interesting ChatGPT and the overrated list in the NFL since 2015. We will get to that kickoff fair catch stuff. Andy Reid, one of the people that's not a fan of the new kickoff fair catch rule. Also up next, we'll hit the Flex segment. Wednesday night Flex show you might have missed last night and where to find it. Plus that 7-on-7 coming Saturday morning over at Westwood. We'll tell you the teams that are going to be there on the Horn.
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Chad and Zay.
Ah, yes, indeed. Thursday. Hope you're having a good one. Maybe this will get you in a better mood. Maybe when you hear Poison, you get in a worse mood. If you're a Texas baseball fan, I don't know if this helps. For me, they usually make me feel good. May not make you feel good. Poison and, what is this, Talk Dirty to Me? Is that right?
Yeah, that's right.
What a classic. What a classic, Poison. You know what? Poison is like the musical version of Fast and Furious. They're not trying to do anything other than what they're trying to do. If you need an Oscar-level movie, don't go watch it.
Don't go watch it.
If you need the greatest rock band ever, don't go see Poison. That's not the point. But if you just want a good old party and hair metal band that loves to be out there, go see Poison.
Yo, I saw Ludacris on Steven Jackson and Matt Barnes' podcast,
yes,
Up in Smoke, and he was like, stop effing asking me why we keep making these movies. Let me tell y'all, if you put $200 million in a movie and get back $3 billion,
right,
you're going to keep doing these damn movies.
Exactly.
And I'm like, good point.
Dude.
Good point, because people like you, Chad Hastings, keep paying for it.
I'm there. Luda, I'm with you.
Twice. And you're going to see it twice.
I'm going to see it twice in the theater. It's true. I will go do it. I really enjoyed it. I thought Tej and Roman did a great job in this movie. I love them. I love them. I do. I admit it.
Yo, was Idris Elba a villain in one of the movies, or am I tripping?
Idris Elba was a villain in the Hobbs and Shaw movie.
Doesn't count. Those don't count.
Doesn't technically count as a Fast and Furious movie unless, I guess, it's sort of
that is spinoff, though.
Yeah, okay. And that movie was horrible. Like, even for me, it was horrible. It was so bad. My girls love that movie. They'll tell you they didn't love it. They liked it because of the good-looking men in it.
Oh, yeah.
That's the only thing that can carry
Idris Elba and The Rock running around.
Yeah.
Yeah, I get it.
Yeah, The Rock and Jason Statham.
And Jason, yeah.
I mean, there's things in that movie. Yeah, there's dudes in that movie that will bring you through, but man, there was not enough for me. Wow, that's a bad movie. Fast 10, though, I loved it. All right, so Poison and UFO getting us started today musically. Let's get you a Flex segment here. We may work in a little NFL as well.
Flex ATX for the best high school sports coverage. Listen to the Horn and go to FLXATX.com. Flex 30 is brought to you by Brain Vault. Brain Vault is a revolutionary and patented mouthguard that has been proven to help reduce the risk of concussion. Visit BrainVault.com and join the movement.
All right, last night was the Wednesday night Flex show, and shout out to a young man named Marcus Taylor who joined the guys. He was at Hayes in high school, and he's recently transferred to Mary Hardin Baylor, so he's going to be there in the fall. He tweeted out, thanks to Nolan and Cameron and the crew for having me on, said, had a blast sharing my experiences and talking about mental health. Grateful for the opportunity. I enjoyed seeing that, Zay, because back in the day, high school kids and early kids transitioning into college football players, they weren't saying those two words together, mental health. And now it's a discussion that can be had. So good for that young man to be able to talk about something like that. Hopefully it inspires other people around him.
Yeah, and he's obviously well beyond his years. I mean, that's a very mature thing to come on air and say, especially at that age. And you're right, Chad, like back in our day, if you talked about mental health, you were considered soft.
Yep.
Just straight up, you're soft. Oh, you don't want to play. You're not giving what it takes. You know, nobody knows what others are going through behind the scenes. And especially with what we've heard about Lance Blanks and just things like that. Like, mental health is so important. Mm-hmm. And there's nothing to joke about. We just saw what John Morant just did that caused an uproar, and it should. I don't know if John Morant was looking at that type of situation like that, but it came out in a very negative way that you do not play in these situations the way that he did. I know he's not playing, but it's just those type of things that make you think about mental health and where people are, again, which you never know. And yeah, I think it was very important for him to come on and say that, and I marvel him for doing that.
Yeah, so yeah, the Ja thing was kind of crazy, because when you for anybody to send out on social media, love your mom, love your pops, you the greatest baby girl, love you, bye.
No.
If that's what you send out, you need to know how that could be interpreted. So they literally did a welfare check on Ja Morant. They said that they found him, he was fine, and he then said it was eventually deleted, and he said, no, I'm just taking a break from social media. That was his way of, well, okay, but there's a way to type
that. Yeah, you got to word that differently. You could go on Twitter, or you could do one of those notes on your phone, like in the notes section, where you could write out a paragraph and then post it as a picture on Twitter so you could say what you want to say. Because
yeah.
I know Twitter gives you like a word limit.
And say, I'm going to chill out for a while.
I'm going to cool out. I'm not going to be on social media. But if people who are close to me, they could contact my people. They know me, but I'm going to chill out, because when I get on social media, there's always problems.
Yeah, and I'm glad somebody did reach out. That's another part of the whole mental health thing, just to check. It's much better to check than find out something's really awful. So, again, shout out to that young man for having the discussion, and the world of sports having it more than it has in the past. Also, we've mentioned this week that 7-on-7 going on over at Westwood this week. Saturday morning, you're getting 6 different pools of 4 teams. I think my math tells me that's 24 teams. So listen up for your school if you want to head out there. Starts at 8 a.m. on Saturday. Westwood, Chaparral, Pflugerville, and Lake Travis are in a pool together. Rouse, Austin High, McNeil, and Leander are in Pool B. Cedar Ridge, Lockhart, Eastview, and Weiss are in a group together. Georgetown, Vista Ridge, Hendrickson, and Dripping Springs are paired up. Round Rock, Anderson, Manor, and Westlake. And then the final is Bowie, Coppers Cove, Hutto, and Stony Point. So you're in groups of 4, you play 3 games in the morning, and then those pool winners advance through till you get 2 ultimate winners. The teams that end up playing in the ultimate, I guess, championship game there, if you will both qualify for the College Station State 7-on-7. San Marcos and Lake Travis already qualified. So if Lake Travis advances through and wins this one, wins the whole thing, then they'll have 2 other teams that get through. You can advance as far as you want, but you can't qualify twice. So
okay.
Then you don't take anybody's spot. They will have 2 teams advance.
All right. Cool.
So that is happening this Saturday if you want to check it out. Also on the football side, Zay, you told me today, I should have expected this. I kind of like this, in fact. But we got some old heads in football that don't like the kickoff fair catch deal, including Big Red.
Oh, yeah, of course.
Andy Reid doesn't like it. Who else did you tell me? The Kelsey brothers don't like it?
The Kelsey brothers, they don't like it.
The heck do a tight end and an offensive lineman care about the kickoff rules?
I don't know. Andy Reid said, my thing is, where does it stop? You don't want to take too many pieces away, or you'll be playing flag football.
Yeah.
Travis Kelsey said, I think this is absolutely stupid. I don't think it's making the game safer. I think it's making the game boring.
Ooh, there you go.
Big brother Jason said, we're just getting closer and closer to getting rid of special teams.
Oh, man. I wanted one of them to say, put a skirt on them. Doggone it. I wanted to put a dress on
them. Put some heels on them.
Put some heels on them. Put the dress on them. I think in college, I don't think it's had a bad effect in college football. I think they'll like it more than they think. I don't think they'll notice it as much as they think. I mean, if they really wanted to look at, you know, there's a couple different ways you could do, you know, kickoffs if you really wanted to.
How many kickers could kick that, though? like consistently to where they get that bounce and guys are jumping for it and then there's a collision. And what's the percentage that the kickoff team recovers it on those onside kicks and stuff? Like, what is, like, I don't really understand where these guys are, like, coming from
right.
with this.
But
you know?
This rule isn't about an onside kick. This is the fair catch deal.
Yeah.
Right? What they're saying is, if we have a guy that can pop up to the 8, you shouldn't be able to fair catch it at the 8 and get 17 free yards. That's what the Kelsey's and Reed are saying. It's part of football, man. You can't take the yards. To me, though, I think it's a way to, again, a lot of advantages to the offense. And all those guys need to know that. That's what's ironic. Those are all offensive guys. Andy Reid and the Kelsey brothers. Y'all are getting helped anyway. Shut up. Stop. Who cares? Now, I like that they're saying it because I need both sides, Zay. I want the football guys to be tough, and I want the people that are trying to protect them to try to protect them. Like back in the day when they took my man Jason Witten's helmet. I need Jason Witten to yell and scream and be a tough guy and say, give me my helmet. And I need the dudes on the sideline to say, no. You don't get the helmet 82 because you got your bell rung. Sit down. I need both of those things at the same time. So here, I need them to try to protect players, and I need the old heads to say, I think we're getting closer to flag football. I need all of that.
Yeah, Bill Belichick, I could see him bitching about this because he's one to – he loves kicking the ball before a touchback. So guys have to run it out
right.
and stopping them before they get to the 20. He was all about that his whole career. So I could see him being really upset about this. But you're right. These offensive guys, it's weird.
See, that's what they need. What they need to think about is that XFL kickoff where you have to kick it in that certain box. Because if you miss, if the XFL kicker kicked it into the end zone or if he got it short of the 20, the ball was taken to – you got the ball on the plus 45. Do you realize that? Plus 45. You get it 15 yards from where they kicked it.
Oh, Dwayne.
Dude, I'm telling you. And in the championship game, they had a penalty on a kickoff. Or excuse me, a penalty on a touchdown. They moved the kicker back to the 15s, Zay, and then he missed the kick.
Oh, he smoked it.
The Renegades got it on the plus 30 to start a drive. Even I thought that was extreme. I'm like, wow. That's punitive right there. So Andy Reid, there are different ways to do it. I don't know if you want to go that far, but that kickoff rule is in place for this year. No matter where the ball is fielded on a fair catch, if you fair catch it on the kickoff, you get it at the 25. And I think that's also the same for if you just catch it in the end zone regular. Ball ends up in the end zone, it's coming to the 25 as well. All right, speaking of the NFL, by the way, we are only 105 days away from that first Thursday night game. 108 days from now is the NFL's first Sunday. And Longhorn fans, Aggie fans, Bama fans, whoever you love, if you're playing September 2nd, you're 100 days away from your first game. We'll get into that more. Also at 2:05, it is an album movie swap discussion. I have listened to Illmatic by Nas, and Zay has watched The Last Boy Scout. We will give you our reviews coming up. Where We At in Society is coming up next with Zay, so you do not want to go anywhere. This is The Horn.
Chad and Zay.
Oh, God, I love that little drum part. In case you didn't know, the song was going to be fast. Just this. I believe, Zay, this is Anthrax.
There we go.
Yes.
See, I'm learning. One of the big four.
One of the big four. Very good. Ain't going to live my life this way. This is Caught in a Mosh.
Caught in a Mosh.
There it is. Yeah, Anthrax is the, of the big four, you've got Slayer that really pushes towards the satanic thing, right? You've got Metallica that was the most popular of the four, and they were straight up thrash. You've now heard an entire album of that Metallica. Megadeth had an original member of Metallica in it. They're kind of in that vein, too. Anthrax, they're the one that pushes out towards a little rap at times, a little more of a funky vibe at times. They probably play around more. They probably have the most humor of the big four.
Okay.
That's the way I would sort of label Anthrax. One of their big songs is called I'm the Man, and it's basically like a weird little metal rap song, and it became this thing they would do in the middle of a show, and the crowd's yelling the stuff back to them, and I've told you, they were big Public Enemy guys.
Okay.
They covered Bring the Noise.
Mm-hmm.
The two went out on tour together. So Anthrax was very different.
Dope.
Yeah, yeah. They're a whole another brand, man. They're very cool. Dig Anthrax. Caught in a Mosh from Anthrax. And then there was Poison earlier. Two very different bands that have probably never toured together. And then UFO to start us off today. We came on a little bit late because of Texas baseball. Texas did not look good at all in the Big 12 tournament. They lose 6-3 yesterday, forced them into a 9 a.m. game, and they never woke up. 6-0. Kansas State got them today, so they'll wait for their regional designation after the weekend is over. Coming up at 2:05, our album movie swap discussion, Nas and Illmatic, The Last Boy Scout with Bruce Willis and Damon Wayans. That's coming up, but right now, where are we at in society? Zay's going to tell us. Here we go.
Where are we at in society today?
All right, Zay, we've had a really good week so far because in my DMs on Twitter, there are pictures of sexy, curvy women and all kinds of stuff.
I'm going to send you some stuff.
What do you got today?
So nothing to send you via Twitter.
Okay.
But something that might come out very soon.
All right.
That will hit sports documentaries around the world by storm. And that's the 2008 Florida Gators story.
Ooh,
on Netflix.
Really?
That is right.
Oh, my God. How many fans are going to hate that? And how many are going to love it?
I can't wait. The team that had their coach as Urban Meyer, Tim Tebow at quarterback, racist as Riley Cooper, Aaron Hernandez, Percy Harvin.
Oh, man.
Joe Hayden was on that team. Cam Newton. That team was loaded.
Was Cam still around?
I don't know if he was still around.
For 08?
Maybe he wasn't. But he was a part of that, like, crew.
Oh, he might have been, though.
I think he was the backup on one of those teams.
Because, wait a minute.
I don't know if it was 08 or not, or 09.
You may be right, because 2010 is when he wins the title at Auburn, and between he did the Blinn title.
Yep, it was 08. He was on that
right.
team. He was on that team.
Oh, my God. Please tell me there's some crazy footage of, like, Cam Newton hanging in the locker room.
Yep, he was number 13. Cam Newton, sophomore.
Dude, that's awesome.
What's great is if you type in the 2008 roster and you go to Aaron Hernandez, there's no picture.
Is that right?
Well, they have a picture of him. Why can't we see him?
Wonder why.
Yeah, that's unfortunate.
The orange suit made him wash out. Maybe. Yeah, that's the year of the speech, right? The Tebow speech? When they lose to Ole Miss, I think it was?
I think so.
He gives the speech and the black shirt. He's crying.
You'll never see anybody work as hard. God bless.
And for I know it's hard for some people that don't like Tebow, but for folks around here, it was cool to see Oklahoma lose a title game, right? That's good.
Yeah, take that.
There's a couple teams you guys have to thank for Oklahoma only having the one with Bob Stoops. There's that USC team, and the Florida team is one of them. That's a good game, too. That was a close game. Remember, he's got to give a speech at the halftime of that one, too. Remember that speech?
No.
They get to the halftime, and he gives them the basically varsity blues. He gives them the 30 more. I'm going basketball with 30 minutes for the rest of our lives. He basically gives them that speech.
See, when they came out with this quarterback list of the top quarterbacks since 2000, motivation should have been put in there because Baker wasn't getting people hyped like that.
No.
Tim Tebow, the way that he made you feel. Which a lot of people hated him for it, but for that team, come on, nobody had that. All nobody right. had the leadership of Tim Tebow out of all those quarterbacks that were on that list. Maybe VY, and VY did it differently.
Mm-hmm.
But with all the accomplishments and trophies that he won, it's still weird that he was number four. That's still very odd to me, and I know I'm a huge Texas fan, and having an OU guy as number one, that hurts in itself, but being objectively... non-biased. Come on, Tim Tebow, Baker Mayfield, it's easy.
I just think the uniqueness of his career dictates he needs to be higher. Just lay it all out in front of you. Just say it all out loud to yourself. I don't think there's anybody else that needed to be on top of that list.
It has to be the walk-on thing. Like, that's,
I guess,
I didn't really think about that before when we were talking about a couple of days ago. It has to be the walk-on thing and how he overcame that a Heisman Trophy winner at one of the blue blood schools in America, in Oklahoma.
I would have switched Tebow and Baker, 1 and 4. I would have made Tebow 1, and then you could pretty much do Vince, Cam, however you want.
Yeah.
Because in both, you've got, if you want to give Cam that edge we talked about the other day, because he did get the Heisman along with the title. We all know Vince probably should have got the Heisman. A lot of folks would have voted for him and did vote for him. But so maybe you do that. You go Cam 2 and Vince 3, but I'd switch Tebow and Baker.
Yeah.
But that's cool. So we don't have a release date yet for the documentary?
It's supposed to be in 2023.
Okay.
No release date.
Oh, they're going to do it sometime during the season, aren't they?
Maybe I would do that.
Give me an October release, something like that. Come on now.
Yeah.
Dude,
yeah.
I'm going to watch that thing guaranteed. He's magic. He's a magical dude. I know a lot of people hate him. They just hate him to hate on. I get it. Oh, my God. He was fantastic to watch.
How good was Percy Harvin?
He was incredible.
Percy Harvin did things on that field, the speed. He just couldn't stay healthy. Even when he got to the Vikings, he was changing games. And you remember what he did in the Super Bowl for the Seahawks? He was hurt like the whole season.
Mm-hmm.
And then all of a sudden he came around in the playoffs, and then they throw him in there. And what, does he have a kick return? Or a punt return?
Think
I don't remember.
You're right. Yeah.
But it was something special. Like Percy Harvin.
Oh, he's so freaky.
Yo. And I remember him not even playing in one of the big-time games at the end. I don't know if it was SEC championship or national championship, but there was a game he didn't play in, and they still handled their business because, yeah, we just named a lot of guys on that roster. Even racist-ass Riley Cooper was nice.
Oh, that was a hell of a group, man. Hell of a group, and it came with all kinds of stuff. Are they going to cover all 31 arrests, or how are they going to deal with that part? Did they cover that part? I don't know.
They got to talk about it.
All right. Just for all you Tebow haters out there and Florida haters, I had to throw that one in. All right. 2 o'clock hour coming up. The album movie swap discussion. We'll get into that. Texas loses in baseball today and awaits the regional situation. Plus tonight in the NBA, Miami and Boston. Heat trying to close out the series, but they'll have to do it without a guy who's really giving them a lot in these playoffs. We'll get you that update if you missed it. Plus, why today matters. By the time I get there, I might be able to say out loud what happened in music yesterday that crushed my soul. She's not with us anymore. Maybe I can get it out later. Good Lord. This is The Horn.